My goodness. From what the Lord has been saying in song and to edify us in this, it's like we've had church already. He's speaking, friends. God is speaking. Question is, are we listening? You know, we can hear but not listen. There's a difference. Moms know that. You're not listening. I think sometimes husbands and kids have selective hearing. Anybody? Okay, that isn't even in my notes. Maybe we shouldn't have, yeah, okay. But let's not have selective hearing this morning. Let's be all ears. God is talking to each one of us, not just your neighbor. And so often I think we come and we think, oh, if only so-and-so had been here, they needed to hear this. Well, you know what? So-and-so isn't here. You're here. I'm here. This message is for me. It is for you. Let's be attentive this morning. Live to give. Pastor and I are really excited about the new summer series that we're going to start today, Live to Give. We're going to unpack 1 Corinthians 13 over the next few weeks and just talk about His love and then how we can live that love in such a way as to give it out and what that would look like. How many could use more of Christ's love shining? Okay, a couple of you, a few amens. Two hands up here. We see some feet going up too. Okay. I see the pom-pom, the hanky. Okay. So this is going to be a great series. Live to give. It's going to challenge us, you guys. It's going to encourage us. God has a purpose and He has a plan for us. Now, although those plans may be unique to each of us as individual, we're individual people. We have different bents. We have different talents. So that will be unique, the plans of God for us. But the purpose of God is universal. God's purpose, He created us to know Him. The Creator created us to know Him, the Creator. Across the board. We're to know Him and to make Him known. To receive His love and to love Him in return. This is a give and take. And we receive that love and then we live that love back to Him by our lives. We give back to Him our lives. Our everyday living is a gift back to the Lord, and how we live pleases Him or not. Once we truly have come into that close, intimate friendship with Him, and we've experienced that love, we want to tell others about it. And sometimes we'll need to use words, but other times our lives will just shine. Yes, they will just know there's something different about you. You're going through crisis, but you've got a peace that's mind-boggling. How can you be joyous in the midst of your suffering? People will know, they will be able to tell the love of the Father once we have tasted and seen that He is good. It's only then that we can give. It's by receiving. Let's pray. Father, we've come to You in prayer a number of times this morning. I just feel it's just a reminder that we need You. We're poor of spirit. We call out to You even once again in this service. Jesus Christ, the power of Your embrace erases everything. One touch from You changes everything. Lord, may we receive that love anew today, afresh. Let the tsunami of Your love engulf us in that presence that changes us. Let us be drunk in Your love, high on Your love, intoxicated with Your extravagant, unconditional, all-consuming love. I pray as we go to the table to remember in communion today, that this won't be something we just do on the first Sunday of the month, but it would be something that we do today, that takes hold of our hearts and grips our hearts like never before. The price that you paid for our freedom. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from worry. Freedom from hatred. Freedom from despair. Freedom from disease. Freedom from depression. You bore it all. All means all. Thank you today for what you're going to do in our presence so that your name would be lifted up and you would be glorified. That is why we ask for you to come, Holy Spirit, in this place, be glorified. Thank you that you will not fail, that your love doesn't fail. We receive it now in your name. Amen. I was a little curious this morning. How many of you have ever been watching a ball game or been at a ball game, and in the bleachers you see someone with a banner that says John 3:16? Anybody? I mean, maybe, I think it might even be the Super Bowls that they, you have somebody that's going to have that out there, okay? You see John 3:16. Or maybe you've been driving and you see a billboard. Anybody? John 3:16. There's a corner in Albany out in the country, and they carved it on their tree even. So when you get to this Y in the road and you have to choose right or left, right there is John 3:16. And I'm thinking that probably along with the Lord's Prayer, maybe the 23rd Psalm, maybe Genesis 1:1, John 3:16 is one of the best and well-known passages in the Bible. For God so loved this world that he gave. As we'll stop right there. What was his reason for giving? Love. For God so loved that he gave. We're going to live to give, and we're going to be motivated by God's love to give. God so loved the world that he gave. And because he gave his love, because he gave his best, because he gave his one and only son to not only live amongst us, you guys, but to die and to take our place, we get freedom, we get life, we get hope, we get joy. We get everything that we need of because of his great love, because of his great sacrifice. Love motivated Jesus Christ to lay down his very life. It was a blood sacrifice. That was the requirement for sin. Someone was going to have to shed blood. And it was our innocent Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. When I was learning piano, the first hymn that my dad taught me was a little song in the key of C. That means no flats or sharps. It's all white keys. And it was, there is a fountain filled with blood. And now, mind you, I'm only like 4 years old here. So this is all like, okay. But there is a fountain and it's filled with blood and it's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Think what this little gal is thinking at this point. But sinners that are plunged beneath this flood, they lose all their guilty stains. And it has become over the years my favorite song, that I can just be plunged into the blood of Jesus. And this wasn't in my notes either, but sometimes I just go off the cuff. Have you noticed that? Sometimes when I go through a car wash, this is just my little imagination going, you know how the car wash gets under, sides, on top, full pressure, full force? I've imagined before, like a car wash filled with the blood of Jesus. And it's not the car going through, but it's me going through. And it's just hitting everywhere. It's cleaning every orifice, everything. I'm getting cleansed with the blood, my thoughts, my actions, my intentions, my motives, everything. Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Something's going to happen in this place today as you open up to more of Jesus. I want more. I am not satisfied with yesterday's manna. I'm not satisfied at the level I'm at. I hunger and thirst for righteousness. Good news. Good news today. If you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. You will be filled. If you do not hunger and you do not thirst, go to the Lord and say, what is filling my appetite? Where, how come I'm not hungry anymore? What has gotten in the way of me being hungry for you? The cares of this world, the busyness of this world, anger, resentment, unforgiveness, worry, backbiting, malice, slander. Those things will grieve the Spirit that wants to fill us. And he will be at a distance. He says, you don't grieve me. Don't grieve me. And we have the capacity to grieve him. And there's a place right here today that we can lay all that down. And you can once again know the joy of the Lord to a capacity that you think you're going to combust. You can know peace so that you pinch yourself. You think you're in a dream because whatever you're going through right now isn't fazing you. Because the peace of God is guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's not a fairy tale. This isn't a fortune cookie. This is the truth, the living truth of the living God. And his word will not return void. We have a choice to accept it, to receive it, to believe it by faith, and act upon it and obey it. Amen. Amen. There's a requirement that we come to him in obedience. He said that he loves all. He loves the whole world. Red, brown, yellow, black and white. We're all precious in his sight. And it was while we were still sinners. We seem to think that we have to get our act together. I can't be doing that anymore. I can't be saying that anymore. I can't be going there anymore. I can't smell like this or be doing that. Because I can't go to Jesus in that condition. But Jesus says, come as you are. Come as you are. The prodigal son thought he was going to have to go home and beg. You know, can I just be one of your servants, Dad? You know, oh, wretched man that I am. And that father said, woo! My son was dead. Now he's alive. He's been found. And he ran. Mercy ran. Mercy's running today. Mercy's running. It says that surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. It's just following me. And you. You can't get away from the power of his love. It loves you no matter where you are, what you're doing, what you're thinking, what his love isn't conditional. But he loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay in that condition of mind, in that state of mind, in that muck and mire, in that habit, in that mindset. His love says, I'll take you the way you are and I'm going to bring you higher for your goodness and my glory. Amen. Amen. Preach it, Pastor Cheryl. Just preach it. Just preach it. Saying, it's a free gift. You're never going to have to pay. It's free. What part of free don't we understand? We think we have to earn it. You can't and you never will. I can't and I never will. Salvation is a free gift. We have been given faith to trust in the grace of God. So we've got our tickets to heaven. But we're living miserable. What is wrong with that picture? Just saying. He died for the whole picture, for the whole. He said that Satan would come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, said, I have come that you may have life to the full, overflowing, abundant. How many are living in that abundance? I thought so. I thought so. You guys just need to dial down. Or not. I'm living in that abundance. And that's the scripture that 25 years ago just tormented me, if you will. Because I said, Lord, I've known you all my life, but I'm a roller coaster. A slave to my emotions and my circumstances. This is not abundant life, Jesus. And he said, come get me. Chase me down. Come after me. Seek me with all of your heart. And you will find me and you will not be disappointed. And I'll tell you times, you guys, I've said this before, I've had to pull over my car because I thought I was going to combust with the joy of the Lord and then there would be a car crash. You know what I'm saying? And it would be fine for me, but if I hit somebody else, it wouldn't be fine for them. So to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm just saying, there is more. There is more. I want you to turn to somebody right now and holler, there is more. Yes, there's more. There's more to this life. And he died for us to have it. And if you are not walking in a peace and a joy that my God is able to supply all of your needs according to his riches, you have just said, enemy, you can have that peace. You've given it away, you guys. Come on. Don't give away your peace. We've already said that to each other this morning because there's things that'll come that try and get your peace just like that. Peace is power. It's your shoes, remember? You can step on anything. You can stomp on anything if you've got your foot covering on. But if you take off your peace, you can barely walk across hot pavement, let alone glass and climb a mountain filled with rocks. But you get your boots on. I'm saying, you can do all things through Christ. Don't give away your peace. I mean, I don't even know why I have notes this morning. I'm just saying because we're just going off. We're going off. All right. How hard is it? I think it's actually impossible. How hard is it to give away something that you don't already possess? Amen, and God bless you, sister. So let's just say money. I need to borrow some money, and even if you'd be so generous as to give it to me and I don't have to pay you back, may I have money? Well, if you don't have money to give me, you couldn't give it to me. Okay? How many have money? No. And if I was hungry and I needed food and I came to you and I wanted food, but you didn't have any, you couldn't give it to me. But if you had food, you could give it to me. Okay? This isn't rocket science. I think I see a lot of bobbing. That's good. That's good. We're getting this. Not hard. So, have you ever been frustrated? Have you ever been sad when you have desperately wanted to help somebody with resources and you couldn't? Let me see your hands. Have you ever wanted to help somebody and you just couldn't? All the time. That's me. I get sad because I have limited resources. And I've lacked. And I've been saddened by that. You guys, what the world needs now is love. Sweet love. Amen. What the world needs now, I see your thumbs up, Hannah. Good job, sweetheart. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And we can't give it away if we don't have it. Because you don't want my love. You want his love. Mine has conditions, okay? His doesn't. That's why I have to be filled with that, experience his love in such a way that I'm just like, oh, I was such a wretch. He forgave me. I can easily forgive you. Oh my goodness. My God is so patient with me. I've experienced the patience of his love. Because 1 Corinthians 13 says love is patient. That's the first thing it says. Love is patient and kind. Never jealous or envious or boastful or proud or haughty or selfish or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It doesn't hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Okay. That's the love of God that I want to walk in for your sakes. And everybody said, thank you. Pray for Pastor Cheryl to walk in that love. I can't give it away if I don't myself have it. And people are desperate for it. People want to know that you love them and you're not going to have conditions. You're not going to give up on them. And in that love comes hope, comes peace, comes joy, comes eternal life that I can share. That I know where I'm going. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds it. And I know where I'm going to spend all of eternity. And I want you to know the same thing. I want to read a passage out of God's holy word, Acts 3, 1 through 11. And this passage gave me hope this week. I think you're going to know why in just a minute. I want to be able to offer people more than just resources. I want to walk in and say, be healed, be delivered, be high and lifted up in his strength. I hear some yeses. I hear some amens. You guys are with me. Do you not want to walk in that kind of power? Well, write it down. Acts 3 is where you heard it. Acts 3, 1 through 11. Let us just focus on this. If we will live to give Jesus. And if we want that more than we want anything in this life, he will not fail us. Acts 3, 1 through 11 says, one day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way into the temple for prayer meeting. I'm reading out of the Message version. At the same time, there was a man crippled from birth being carried up. Every day he was set down at the temple gate, the gate named Beautiful. And he would beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. Peter, with John at his side, looked at him straight in the eye. And he said, look here. Well, he looked up, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk! He grabbed him by the right hand and he pulled him up, and in an instant, this person who had never walked, walked. His feet and his ankles became firm and strong, and he jumped and he leaped. The man went into the temple with them, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. They recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple gates Beautiful. And they rubbed their eyes. They were astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. The man threw his arms around Peter and John, ecstatic. All the people ran up to where they were at Solomon's porch to see it for themselves. Do you with me want to say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name that we sang about, the person that we praise and adore, in his name and by his authority, rise and be healed, walk, be delivered in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Live to give. Have you ever thought about why you're here today? Not here today, but on the planet. What's your existence all about? Of course we have. Why is my heart beating? Why am I drawing breath? Once again, I tell you, you were born and you were created for such a time as this to know Christ. And to make him known. I say it again and again. Know him intimately. Friend to friend. Know him and make him known. Do everyday life with him. And do it through the power of his love. I'm not thinking that people out there are really impressed by church programs. I don't know that they're really impressed with buildings. Or our charitable efforts, or our fight against evil. I don't think they're going to know us by all those things. There's one thing that the truth seekers, those that are seeking to know truth, and we know truth to be Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the way, the truth, and life. And he's the light. And he said, I'm gonna take you little jars of clay, little vessels, your broken little vessels. And I'm gonna put my light in you. And because it's broken, it's gonna shine through. Do you know that? There's a purpose for our brokenness. Because in our brokenness, we find Jesus. There is a mess, but he brings a message. We have tests, but he brings out of that testimonies. Some of us are stuck in the monies. That was not even in my notes. Some are stuck in the monies. You got to get out that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Again and again, I can say it because I've lived it. I've done it. When I did not want to live anymore, when I was sinking in this sea, we talked about Jesus lifted me. Oh, thank you, God. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Praise God. We will be known by our love. It needs to be authentic and genuine and sincere. And it won't be found in our making. It will be found in his abiding. When we abide, that's when we produce fruit. Apart from the vine, we're nothings. Okay? We're not. But if we abide in the vine, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit will be evident in our lives. His love, his peace, his joy, his long-suffering, his kindness, his gentleness, his faithfulness. He is my connector. He makes it worth it. Do you know it's been said that our eyes are the windows to our soul? Do you believe that? Can you look into someone's eyes and you can see worry, trouble, anger, resentment, bitterness? You can look in people's eyes and see hopelessness, despair. Am I telling the truth? The eyes are the windows to the soul. Are your eyes clear? What do people see when they look in your eyes? Can they hear it by our caring tone of voice? Do they witness it in our action? Do they see a quiet and gentle spirit? I do when I look at you. Are we patient when wronged? You're saying, move on, move on. Hurry up, I'm kind of impatient, move on. But are we? Are we generous to give out forgiveness? Because the Lord said, in the manner with which we forgive, he will. If we withhold forgiveness, he will. Did you hear me? Do you believe? Do you want to have a sleepless night? Let it go. Let it go. Pastor Tim and I have several ladders, and if you need to borrow one and get a ladder and get over it, help yourself. Okay? Okay? Don't let another day go by. And for that, we're going to need the grace of God. We're going to need his help. But he says, come to me. I'll give you what you have need of. If you lack, I supply. And boy, do we lack. Now, as we watch people come in, we're going to see tattoos and piercings. We're going to see hair styles and colors that aren't like grandma's. Just saying. You know, however, sometimes grandmas have blue hair. Okay, so they're way ahead of it. They're way ahead of it. Not so much anymore. And now we know gray's the new in vogue, so it's we're all meshing together. But you know what? There's gonna be people that come in here and they're gonna have clothes on that we're like, woohoo, or lack of, woohoo. Okay? And we're gonna want to judge them. They're going to see it in our eyes. Okay. You know, okay, I don't think everybody's heard this story, so you're going to get this story. If you've heard it, you're going to hear it twice or thrice. The time that I was shopping in February in Salem in the mall. How many have heard the story? Okay. Okay. Good. Good job for remembering. And snowy day, cold day. And there was a young teenage mom with a little baby and friends around her. I was going in and they were coming out, or vice versa. No, I was in, they were going out, or they were coming in. And the baby had no shoes on, or socks or booties or foot covering or blanket. And I was livid. I'm thinking they're dressed, they're in warm coats, and then this little one. Come on, you guys, the extremities. I mean, I was just like, are you kidding me already? Put the baby in your coat. Something. What are you thinking? You're not thinking. Clearly, you're not thinking. You should not be parents. Okay, all this, you can do that in about 5 seconds. Okay, you can judge that. Boop, done. And they saw all of that on my face. And the gal looked at me and she said, don't you judge me. And because she had a lot of friends around her, I was like, ooh, not judging, not peace. Bye-bye. Have a happy day. Okay. She saw it. I said nothing. But she saw the judgment. You know, people are smarter than we think. They're going to feel that condescending look. Amen. Judge not, lest ye be judged. The Lord came that we would have life and have it in abundance. He's very patient. Think of how patient he's been with you, with us. Just think about it. Think about it. Have you gotten your act together? And how many times has he brought this same thing up to us, to our remembrance? And yet we just keep on keeping on. That is a patient God. Yes. We're going to come to the table of the Lord this morning. And we're going to wait upon him in this precious sacred hour. And we're going to wait. It's going to be different as I'm going to go to the keyboard and I'm going to have, pastor's going to share a little bit, and then we're going to receive the cup and the bread. But what we're going to do is there's a little place in the pew to put your cup. So just go ahead and put your cup in that when you receive it. Hang on to the bread. Because I want to talk to you a little bit about that. We've come to the communion table of remembrance. To remember the price that he paid for us to be free. We're going to remember that he suffered. And he did that so that we would have hope. Life in abundance. So that we could exchange what we came in with this morning. Hard-heartedness. Bitterness. Envy. Stubbornness. Unforgiveness, and on and on and on. Offense. It's getting awful quiet. But we're going to come and we're going to deal with this and we're going to say, Lord, this is no way to live. You did not pay this price for me to walk around miserable. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be miserable. I'm going to be good, but you're going to not be good if you choose to harbor, to be mean-spirited, to be unloving and unkind. Okay? It's going to hurt you more than the person that you're aiming at. Have you received his love? Have you received his forgiveness? You're about to. Have you experienced, you guys, come on, we've experienced the grace of God. Have we not experienced the riches of God through Jesus Christ? Amazing grace. I once was lost. Now I'm found. I was blind and now I see. We could all sing that. Then let's be givers of it. He said, freely you received. Now freely give it out. Just be free. Don't hold on to it. Be free. Be generous. To whom much is given, much is required. And we've been given much, much, much. Let's bow our hearts, please. Today we're going to make time, Lord, to get things right with you. We're going to cry out to you for your forgiveness and your grace. We're going to consider at this moment what is hindering us. What has become a huge hindrance that is grieving you, Holy Spirit, to such an extent that we have lost the flow of your supernatural joy, your supernatural love, and your supernatural peace. Lord, I think of my little grandson who becomes like the people he hangs with, good or bad. My little grandson, he picks up habits. He copies. He mimics. He's very impressionable, Lord. And I know that I'm the same way. That's why I want to be where you are. That's why I want to dwell in your presence. That's why I want to abide in the vine. because I don't want to be like anybody else. I don't want to mirror rudeness. I don't want to mirror envy or jealousy. I want to mirror Jesus, my Lord and my King. And I'm going to get there by being with you, by hanging with you, by worshiping you, by studying and obeying. And once I've received, I'm out there to give, Lord. Lord, I know that we're getting in the Word, but sometimes I wonder if the Word is getting in us. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. May we be Jesus with skin on.